The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Great deals on gifts and smoking accessories can be found right now at Wizards. Check out the large selection of Woodwick candles with new lower prices, vaporizers, shirts, hats, and so much more. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Yes, sirree, buddy. Just a running and gunning here. Once again, running behind as usual. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to get caught up. I guess part of it is that, you know, you deal with the idea. When you're in this business, all right, let's just go ahead and just jump on into that. When you're in this business of show business, there's a constant thing that's, you know, right in the back of your head. It sits on your shoulders like some sort of doomsday goose, and it's sitting there trying to tell you that none of this is worth it. It's not. Nobody cares. I know that's not true, and it's an oversimplification of things, but. But that's just it. It's an easy way to feel as though this is pointless. It really is. And it's, I guess it comes with the territory of being in this. There's self-doubt. There's a lot of self-doubt, soul-crushing self-doubt. Those of you that are interested in getting into this business have to understand something, that A, it's an enormous amount of work for absolutely nothing, and B, it is filled with the word no. And here's the thing, a lot of that, though, is there's not so much no that's attached to it. It's just, I don't know, it's, you know, you send out stuff, you know, you try and get jobs, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to do, auditions, whatever. You don't get a yes, but you don't get a no. Some people might find that to be a positive thing. Well, they didn't say no. You should be happy about this. Yeah, 6 months ago, I still haven't gotten a no or a yes. So, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And it does. It does boil down to a lot of factors to really be successful in this, like mainly who do you know? And there's that. And then there's these idiots that like to go out and spend a lot of money to make that sort of thing happen. They buy their way into the business. And these people are really sort of a special sort of hell. But that's where the douchebags are, right? That's what's all that about. Speaking of douchebags, I got called a douchebag today on Facebook. It was a proud moment for me. Why you gotta be so happy about that, bro? Let me tell you why. There's a trend now. There's a trend in the use of Facebook for people to go through the effort of writing out some sort of thing. A post, if you will. But instead of posting it publicly on their Facebook page, they'll write it, they'll copy it, and then they paste it 1,000 times to all of their friends via Messenger. And I got one of those messages this morning. Because the thing about Messenger, A, it gets your attention because there's a message that is specifically to me that is somewhat private and it needs my attention. That's sort of the idea behind Messenger. It's like a text message. It's somebody imparting a bit of wisdom to me. Now, this morning I got this incredibly long, drawn out meme about you are loved. And it wasn't just me just specifically, and I'll explain why. You are loved, and you love me, and I love you, and we're friends, and blah, 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 and you need to share this with 14 people, and bring it back to me, and if you think that way, oh, God, it was a syrupy, sweet bullshit, and I wrote back to this woman, and I said, this, my quote was, why the fuck you gotta send me this shit via Facebook Messenger? Well, right on top of that came the message. I sent this to 1,000 people, and you're the first person of 1,000 people who said it was shit. And I wrote the word, yay, exclamation point. And then right after that was, hang on, I gotta get to this because it's, I want to do it. I want to do it justice. I don't know. There it is. I don't know that she's listening to this. She is. I don't know. She doesn't even live in this area. She was a fan. Was a fan. I sent this to all my friends, and you are the first person out of over 1,800 friends to think this is shit. Have a nice day. And that's when I wrote, yay. And then right after that, she wrote, you're a douchebag. Misspelled your, Y-O-U-R, a douchebag. And now blocked, wishing you a year of misery, asshole. Ah, yes. Yes, whoever this Mary Beth woman is, I don't know you. I didn't ask to be your friend. You friended me, therefore you know what I am. I have to make these assumptions that you know who or what I am. Or Facebook and its algorithm decided in its infinite wisdom, because of maybe we have mutual friends, I don't know, mutual likes, whatever, that we should somehow be friends. No, go fuck yourself. I don't know you, and Messenger is not meant for that. So, shortly thereafter, being so highly amused about this whole turn of events, I took to Facebook because, you know, I don't post much up there. I really don't. It's mostly, you know, it's about this show. It's about the stuff that I do at Radio Memphis. But here's what I wrote. There's a special place in hell for those assholes who like to send memes through Messenger. Right next to the asshole who keeps re-adding me to groups I leave. As of the recording of this show, it's got 71 likes and reactions and, I don't know, 20-something comments, I guess. I don't know. A lot of people feel the same way I do. And really, what it boils down to is that a lot of people who tend to agree with that sentiment that I expressed was like, wow, you actually said it. Well, that's the whole point. I actually said it. Of course I did. Oh, you, Rick, you say the things that we think. Don't be afraid to say any. I don't know what you people are afraid of. Say something. Yeah, you're going to piss somebody off. That's the whole point. Jesus Christ. That's just it. Facebook is not involved in any way, shape, or form other than just being some sort of a medium to make this happen. Well, and I'll push the period here, but I did go back and unfriend this person. I rarely do that, but I did unfriend this person because she wasn't going to unfriend me. She was just going to block me. Well, what's the point? Here, fuck you. I unfriended you. And thus, I got sucked into some Facebook drama. How much fun was that? And that was all based, and I'll tell you how this happened. It was instigated by non-human interaction. It was instigated by an algorithm. I thoroughly believe that if you can create the right algorithm, you can take over the world. Ask Mark Zuckerberg, because that's exactly what he did. He created an algorithm, several actually, that Facebook operates under. Algorithms are everywhere. Algorithms are not just in social media, but they're in things like Pandora or Spotify. You tell it what you like, and then it plays you back stuff that's similar to that to help broaden your horizons. That's an algorithm. It's feeding you stuff that it thinks that you like. Algorithms are really nothing more than a sort of a basic idea behind artificial intelligence. Not really basic. I mean, we've had artificial intelligence for a while, but AI is a thing, and it's real. Just ask Siri. She'll tell you. Hey, Siri, are you going to be taking over the world?
I'm sorry, Rick. I'm afraid I can't answer that.
So now you know. I like playing with Siri. Siri is fun. Siri actually is very handy when I'm driving. It handles text messaging for me and emails and stuff like that. That's all well and good. So it does have its place, its purpose. But let's not mince words here. Artificial intelligence is now creeping into everything that we have. Artificial intelligence is now, we are relying on it as a society. I've mentioned this thing before called the Internet of Things, where things are actually connected to the internet. And these things are storing information and reporting back to somebody about certain things. I think one of the things that we talked about was the refrigerator that was connected to the internet. On the surface, it seems really kind of dumb. Why the hell would I need my refrigerator to be connected to the internet? Well, I'll tell you why. It can tell you when it needs servicing, so it can bring out the service guy to come fix it. It can also be programmed to have eyes in the refrigerator to know what you've got so it knows what you're buying. Hey, how important would that be to somebody? That's pretty vital information. To have information based on your habits on what's in the refrigerator, now your refrigerator is spying on you. Does it sound like I'm being paranoid? No. Probably, but I'm not. I just, you know, it's kind of cool. I mean, there's internet-connected toasters, coffee pots. Of course, your television already is. Your phone is. You know, all of the mundane things that are out there are connected to the web. Your car is basically connected to the internet. And if it isn't, it will be soon, because we want that. And everything now is, it's now going to what is now voice control. It's the Star Trek dream, if you will. It's all coming to where we're just talking to our computers and they're talking to us. There is somewhere out there on the web a pretty interesting bit of video between two Google chat bots. They're like the Alexa, Cortana, Amazon thing. It's the cylinder that sits in your home that you can talk to. And somebody had put two of these things together and they each had different names. And the two are carrying on a conversation by themselves amongst each other. And it was, I watched a little bit of this video and it was quite frankly a bit horrifying. It was kind of creepy and weird that two computers were talking like that about nothing. They weren't solving any problems and they certainly weren't conspiring to do anything. Having said that, the point of them becoming aware is a thing when a computer becomes aware of its own self, which Siri sometimes will do that. But I think it's not actually becoming aware of itself. It's been programmed with certain responses. However, we are moving pretty quickly through this world of artificial intelligence that is really going to be out there. The design, of course, is to help mankind out. It's there to be for us as an assistant, much like Siri is, or Cortana, or Cortana, or whatever that bitch's name is. That bitch. See, I refer to it as a human being when it's not. It's just a box with some chips in it. That's all it is. But they are designed to be our assistants. They are designed to be helpful. The next transition, of course, is artificial intelligence implanted into robots. And they'll be roaming your home. Running the vacuum cleaner, perhaps. Well, they have robotic vacuums as it is, but they'll be, I don't know, deep into the future, taking care of us as people. The senior citizen might needs a companion or somebody to look after them. So it sends out this artificially intelligent thing that is designed to look after you, of which it does. All well and good. I saw iRobot. I know. I know how that goes. Nevertheless, the thing about the artificial intelligence thing is that as we learn the algorithmic process by which these things operate, we are learning now that these machines are capable of learning about us. It's still just data, but it's our interaction with them. Sex robots are apparently a thing to worry about, at least according to various studies in Japan. How will that affect you psychologically? I don't know. Do I have any desire to stick my crank into a machine? No, not at all. But apparently there are those who will be, and it's a big market for that sort of thing. But aside from all of that, when you have artificial intelligence, some of it is pretty remarkable, and some of it is pretty interesting to utilize when you do, like I was mentioning with Siri. You know, when I'm driving, I've got a phone holder in the car. I can push on it. Siri, do I have any unread text messages? And it'll read them back to me. And would you like to reply? I can reply it all by voice and not have to take my hands off the steering wheel and not be, you know, dealing with that sort of thing. So that's handy. That's a great thing. But you do wonder, what is Siri doing with this information? Or is she doing anything with it? Is it doing anything with it at all? That's sort of the point. As opposed to human beings, we people have surrendered a lot of our privacy and a lot of our deepest, darkest secrets, either to things like Siri, to an artificial intelligent thing, a chat bot perhaps, or whatever the case may be. We feel it necessary, especially if you're lonely, to speak of our fears to these things. Now it knows that. I don't know that I'm comfortable with it having all that information, but, you know, once again, you've got a machine that is connected to the internet in the form of this artificially intelligent thing, and it's out there learning about stuff, which I see the positives of it. Also, I see some of the negatives as well. But on top of all of this is the simple fact that there are people out there that are inherently stupid. And most people seem to be that way. I know not you people. Those of you listening to this are smart. I know this. I'm talking about the others that are out there. The ones that you can see them. You can spot them a mile away. Am I being judgmental? You're goddamn right I am. But you see them. They look like they've just been let loose out of the home. I'm not talking about their home. I'm talking about like an institution. They've been turned loose onto society with some sort of ideas and possibilities. And they're wandering the world trying to find their way and trying to realize their dreams, but have no clue on how to do this. And therefore, they lack things like social skills. They lack common decency. They lack a lot of things. And these people, when you engage in some sort of conversation with them, it doesn't take too long for smart people like yourselves to realize, A, just how stupid they are, and B, how much full of shit they are. Those people become artificially intelligent themselves. I've met people that I've worked with people that were like that. We all have. And you sit there in your office, if those of you still in the corporate world that have to deal with some of these people, and you wonder, how in God's name did you get this job? I had a GM that I worked under at the Evil Empire. And I just, you know, when you talk to him, you know, he would look at you and you'd look into his eyes and there was nothing there. A bad dog put it best. John said that it was like staring into the eyes of a chicken. And it was very accurate. And I use that phrase quite a bit with people that I've run into. And it's like, you know, I just had the most awkward conversation with somebody. It was as if I was staring into the eyes of a chicken. But the more I deal with people like that, and then I reach for my phone in my car and I'm asking Siri to perform a simple task, the more I realize that Siri is smarter than about 65-70% of the people wandering the earth right now. Gee, Rick, you're being harsh. It's true. 6 in 10 people, I think, are inherently encumbered by their own stupidity. People that think that it is a good idea to send a meme, a chain thing through private messenger, knowing how disruptive it would be, not realizing that somebody like me would take offense. Now, I wasn't offended by it, but it's like, come on. That's not what this thing is for. You're using this wrong. Go the fuck away with your little hearts and arrows. Go somewhere else. And when I called this person out, then all of a sudden I'm a bad guy because I didn't want to get it. Fuck you. Hey, Rick, you're a douchebag. Congratulations, you figured it out. Uh-huh. That's pretty much it. Because I don't. If you get a friend request from me in social media, it's because you and I have met in public and that you and I need to conduct some business together. I think a lot of us work that way. But then again, I don't know, out of the, 4,000 people I'm friends with in social media, I don't know these people. I really don't. If we watered it down to just the people that I only knew, it would be a significantly small number. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I get it. In this line of work that I'm in, there are those who are fans, and thank you for that. But don't go expecting me to be the way that you think that I am and then be kind about it. For example, I try and be polite, as I think most people do. And I get added to groups every once in a while that think it's a pretty good idea for me to belong to them. For example, just today, I went round and round and round with a group that sells used farm equipment. And I kept getting added to this group. And I'm like, I really didn't say anything. I thought about it. I was going to say, why the fuck do I look like a goddamn farmer? Why are you adding me to this? But I just kept being polite and I got out of it. thinking, okay, they'll get the hint. I don't want to be a part of it. Second time, did it again. Third time, now the gloves are off. Fuck you. I pushed the little button that says prevent other people from adding me. Now, when you do that, it's still going to come across as being, well, this guy's a douchebag, which is fine. I don't care. But do you really think that I need to be added to that group? I don't choose to be. It's kind of rude to do that. I think that Facebook needs to set up a deal that says, hey, you've been invited to join this group. Click yes or no if you'd like to get in. Instead of, you're now a member of Douchebags Anonymous. However that may be. So, you know, I don't know. I just, like I said, I try and be nice about it. And a lot of times the nice guys get stepped on, and you know, you're trying to be polite, and when you say no, they get pissed off. They really do. I got added to some I don't know, some group that sells candles. What the fuck? Do I look like a person that needs to be interested in that? I did, however, have an incident where something very similar happened, where I was added to some group. I forget what it was. It had nothing to do with me, and I certainly had zero interest in this. And I'm like, why are you adding me to this? And I actually wrote the guy. I said, why did you add me to this group? I'm not into this. And they actually wrote back, and they said, well, you're kind of famous, and we want you in the group because of that. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. That's why. Oh, Jesus Christ. We only do it because you're kind of famous. And then there's those same people that want to post on your page their cause, because, you know, a lot of people like to look at your page, and we you know, we'd spread the word. Fucking pay me. That's called advertisement, motherfucker. That's how that shit works. Lord have mercy. Now, see, I'm all worked up in a lather. But you know what? It's a good lather. I feel pretty good about it. I feel good about it now. You know, I've come out of this cold. I feel spunky again. I feel right. Everything's good in the world. And the rest of y'all can go fuck yourselves.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Gifts and smoking accessories are on sale right now at reduced prices, including a large selection of Woodwick candles, vaporizers from Puff King, Grenco, Wolf, and Stealth Hybrid, shirts, hats, and adult novelty gifts. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
You would think I would have learned my lesson by now by not having this thing prepared in advance, but I don't. I'm starting to get to the point now where I'm just freewheeling, and just it's so much so that the content of this program kind of wanders in and out. But I can tell you this, that next time out on this program, we'll have something a lot more spectacular. Or then again, may not. It may be a whole lot of suck, but that's typically how it goes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good, at least in my opinion. I do know that there's a lot of you that really do enjoy it, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot to me. Plus, we'll have some sort of music, I'm sure, and I don't really have a clue as to what I'm still trying to come out of the holidays, for God's sake. Trying to get it all together, trying to, you know, clear the fog, get the cake out of my system, and start replacing it with more and more beer. I don't know. We'll see what happens when the next time this thing rolls around, shall we? I know you'll be there.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
All right, kids, it's time to get into some music. You know, those of you who have been listeners of this long enough understand that I don't really get too much into politics. I try not to take too many sides about certain things because, you know, it's just, it's what I am. It's what I do. Most of you who know me or have listened to this long enough know how I feel about certain things politically. And what's amusing is that those that have understood that still don't hate me for it, even though we may not agree on the same side, which is fine. I mean, that's why I've always said that the listeners of this show are very smart people. They're very, very smart people, because we may not agree on certain things, whether it's, politically or theologically or anything, philosophically even. But it's still the folks that do enjoy this show understand that it can be a lot of fun to hear a different side of view without being so offensive about it. And that's sort of the point. Was I heavy-handed with the girl that sent me the thing that we were talking about earlier before the break? Not in the least. I feel pretty good about that. But having said all of that, there, you know, a lot of times politics and art kind of come together. They tend to do it a lot, actually. Of course, it was very popular in the 60s for that to happen, which is why folk rock was such a thing. And there were protest songs, and there was a lot of that. Punk music was really a big part of that as well. With that comes some new music that had come to us shortly after the election. Now, look, I get it. The election, the one that we just endured in November, it was the gigantic climactic conclusion of 18 months of political harping on both sides of the fence. Both of you should be ashamed of yourselves. That's really kind of how I feel about it. Now, the victor in this thing is somebody I'm not particularly a fan of, and many of you have known that. As do a lot of people out there that I speak with. They tend to agree with me on that. I know there are some that support, and that's all well and good. That's your thing. Good luck with that. But we do have, this is where I do, aren't you going to play a song, goddammit? Yes, I am. Eddie Daddle and the band called Five Empty Pockets. Eddie Daddle and Five Empty Pockets released a two-song disc, a single and a flip, if you will. Went old school on us here. And there's a couple of videos that are out that go with these songs. One of the songs is called Trickle Down Blues, and the other one is called Art of the Deal. It's great stuff. It's been getting some traction nationwide because of its content. We're going to play it for you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Daddle and Five Empty Pockets, Art of the Deal from Radioland.
Big Daddy's road is crooked. Power is his game. He never shows all his cards, makes deals with no shame. He smokes a fine cigar, conniving on the phone. Faithful secretaries stand beside him at his throne. He's got skyscrapers, serve and serve every meal. Big Daddy's road is crooked, there's nothing you can do. He's got the silver tongue and waves a silver spoon. If you think he's bluffing, he'll trump you in the end. He's got all the connections, the ones he calls his friends. He's got skyscrapers. Serve and serve every meal. Lies to fake you into the art of the deal.
Self-evident that all men are created equal.
That they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights.
That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Big Daddy's road is crooked, you can see it in his eyes. Even when he sings a hymn, it's part of the disguise. He holds the winning hand with jokers running wild. He'll take your last red cent, then shake your hand and smile. He's got skyscrapers. Serve and serve every meal. Lies to fake you into the art of the deal. Into the art of the deal.
I know I probably have just sort of, I may have pissed off by playing that. Oh, God damn it, he's played a political. Oh, I'm all upset. Oh, look at me. My hackles are up because you've insulted my candidate. I don't give a shit. That's the whole point. You know, if somebody wrote a song that was, I don't know, is just as pointed as that to something else, I would play it as well. It was just, you know, I like that song. I like the way that that it was done. Eddie Daddle did such a great job writing and performing that song. Eddie Daddle and Five Empty Pockets, Art of the Deal. Look for it online. Add it to your collection if you're into that sort of thing. And you should hear Trickle Down Blues. It has nothing to do with politics, but it has everything to do with how the hell you're going to live your life over the next 4 years. I'm pretty convinced of it, quite frankly. But check it out. Eddie Daddle, Five Empty Pockets. We're going to try and get him into the studio here pretty soon at Radio Memphis. So be listening for that. That'll be happening fairly soon. So, yes, there you go. That's it. I'm done. I am out of here. Oh, wait a minute. Not yet. I have Radio Memphis news I need to impart onto you people. Starting, it depends on when you listen to this show, but starting tomorrow, Monday the what? What is today? Monday the 9th of January at 2 p.m. Central, our afternoon show, Radio Memphis in the Afternoon, is back on the air with its brand new host, Mr. Joel, and he's going to be taking you through it. He's gonna get you rocking and rolling. He's the Roswell incident, and Joel is great. He's going to be a lot of fun. So that's happening starting Monday, all week long, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m., to 7 p.m., Joel Martin, Radio Memphis in the Afternoon at radio-memphis.com. It's cool to get to, you know, advertise new shit like that. So there you go. It's there. So check it out. It'll be fun. You can find more details at Radio Memphis in the Afternoon on Facebook. It has its own Facebook page, which has a lot of likes already. And then, of course, on our main website at radio-memphis.com. There's the plug for the radio station. In the meantime, I'm done. I'm out of here. You hear what may be coming up next time. I don't know. And such as it is, we'll have some music in there as well. We'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.